Hello, this is Pastor Sam Luke welcoming you to Victory Today. I'm going to share with you a message that I preached recently, and I pray that it will be a blessing to you. For more information, you can always go to our website, that's victorytab.org, or call us here at the church office, 804-744-8881. Let's go into that service right now where God is moving by His Spirit. You can turn with me in your Bible today to the book of Psalms, Psalm 85 and verse 6. Psalm 85 and verse 6. Ask the rhetorical question, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? I'm sure of this one thing. You and I are living in critical times. I believe that we're living in the last days. The Bible talks about certain signs of the times and world conditions that would point like the forefinger of Almighty God, the Father, in these last days to the imminent return of Christ. And I think that we can see that for ourselves. There are two reasons why I believe that we are living in the last days. And if we are, then we can expect to see these things happening. The first of these is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The other is found in Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. And the apostle Peter, quoting Joel, said, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." You and I have seen God break down denominational barriers, erase dividing lines, and leap over cultural barriers to fulfill His ancient promise to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. In the last 15 to 20 years, we have seen some remarkable things happen. Some of you were a part of the Brownsville Awakening. And you know that hundreds of thousands of people were swept into the kingdom of God during this spiritual awakening in Brownsville, Florida. We have a young lady who sits every Sunday on the front row of this church that is a product of a great revival that swept through Seoul, Korea. The largest church in the world is found in Seoul, Korea, with over 1 million members in one congregation. And it came about as a result of a mighty prayer movement. By the way, I want to add that we are seeing some transformations take place in the prayer ministry of this church. One of the things that's happening is I'm seeing more and more people who come on Monday night to pray. I realize that not everybody can get to this building on Monday night. We're so scattered out over this region that it's for some of you, it's a 45-minute drive or an hour drive one way to get to this church. And on Monday through Friday, we meet here at noon, and we're seeing more and more people coming. Recently, Daniel shared with me that there were people who wanted to be included online. So very soon, you'll be able to join the prayer meeting Monday through Friday at noon. And I believe that hundreds and possibly thousands will eventually become a part of the prayer movement in this church. There is an awakening that is taking place in our world. Somebody say amen. Amen. So I believe that God wants to send one last great revival. Now, what happens in a revival? Well, the idea is that anything that is revived at one time had to be alive and something happened. Some of you had a dream that was alive, but you've let your dream die. Some of you had a faith that was alive, but your faith has died. Some of you had a relationship that was a living relationship with the Lord, but something has happened, and God wants to revive all of that. Some of you have children that you raised for the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You taught your children about the Lord, but they've gone out into the world, and the devil is telling you they're lost forever. When real revival comes, your children will be brought back into this church. Amen? Some of you have loved ones that have never been saved, a husband, a wife, and it seems instead of them coming closer to God, they have become more hard-hearted. I have good news for you. God said in his word that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your house shall be saved. When revival comes, entire families come to God. And some of you want to draw closer to him. You've sought God diligently and you've said, Lord, I want to move closer to you in true righteousness and holiness. But it seems like there are hindrances in my life. It seems like there are obstacles to that goal. When real revival comes, something supernatural takes place, and we find ourselves following hard after God and abiding in the secret place of the Most High under the shadow of the Almighty. I pray, God, send a revival of revivals before the night of nights sweeps this incomparably wicked world and Jesus comes back. So I'm expecting a real revival. Now watch this. I believe that God has given me three requirements for revival, and I want to share them with you this morning very briefly. And by the way, I want to welcome everybody who's joined us on Facebook. God wants to send a revival to you as well. God wants to send a revival to your home. God wants to send a revival to your church. God wants to send a revival to America. Somebody say amen. Amen. But there are three things. Number one, I think that God wants us to respect his church. Somebody say amen. Amen. The second thing is that God wants us to reverence the Holy Spirit. And the third thing is that God wants us to return to the gospel. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said the combined forces of the seat of the devil's authority will never be sufficient to stop the church short of its divine goals and commission. We are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. We are a city set upon a hill, a royal priesthood and a holy nation. We are the family of God and we are the body of Christ. And the Bible tells us that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The church is precious to Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Now I want you to see this. Jesus stood before his disciples and said, I will build my church. He's saying, I'm going to do it personally. The Bible tells us that the Lord added to the church as many as should be saved. Daily, people united with the church. The church grew from 120 in the upper room to 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. And then the next thing you see, the number of the men saved was 5,000. Then it says believers were the more added to the Lord. Then it says multitudes were added to the Lord of both men and women. Then it says the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And there are historians that say that from the day of Pentecost, the church grew from that 120 in the upper room to over 25,000 in 6 months. I'm telling you, God is about to send phenomenal growth. God is about to awaken people so that they will come from the north, the south, the east, and the west, but not just to any church and not just to any place. God will send people past 10 churches to get to one church that is full of the Holy Ghost. God is going to send people. Oh, yes, I believe that we need to advertise. I believe that we need to tell people we're here. I believe that we need to do all that we can do. But after we've done all that we can do, the Lord Jesus loves his church so much that he said the church will overcome every obstacle. No weapon formed against it shall prosper. Any enemy that comes against it one way shall flee from it seven ways, and every tongue that rises up against it in judgment shall be condemned. We are on the winning side. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said, the gates of hell, all the enemy will assail the church. The enemy hates the church. The enemy is an avowed detractor and opponent and adversary. And we know that. And he's determined to undermine everything that we do. But God has given to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the work of the ministry. God has given to us the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gifts of faith and healing and miracles and prophecy and discernment and tongues and interpretation of tongues. Listen, we don't really know who we are. In Christ, we are invincible. In Christ, we are indestructible. And we are moving forward in faith in the power of the Holy Ghost until Jesus comes back for his church. Hallelujah! 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 And I, for one, respect the church. It's not just an organization. This is a living organism. This is something God built. He's the wise master builder. We didn't do it. We need to sometimes step back and take our hands off what God is doing and say, now, God, you do what you can do. You do what you can do. You will bring in the people that you want to be here. Did you know? Listen, I hate to tell you this, but if you're not supposed to be here, you can't stay. I didn't say I'm running you off. I'm saying God won't let you stay. And here's what I want you to know. If you're supposed to be here, you can't leave. And there are people that God has chosen and said, I am calling you to a particular place. And that place is Victory Tabernacle. This region has not yet seen what God is going to do through this church. There are people that are desperate for God. There are people that are saying, won't somebody help me? And I want you to know the pablum that you find preached in many pulpits and some of this this appeal, they call it seeker friendly. I call it sinful friendly. And they say, oh yeah, come on in. It's okay. You can enjoy the blessings of the Lord. You're still walking with Satan. You've never been born again. You've never experienced the grace of God, but you can come in and be religious. I'll tell you, you can pray for demons possessed people and you can slap oil on them and pray for them, but all you got is a greasy demon. The only way you will ever be free from the power of this world is to be transformed by the power of God. The only way you'll ever see God is to be pure in heart. And that's the work of God. I can't do that. I can't save you. I can't deliver you. But I'm here to tell you about one who still saves and delivers. Who he is who he was, and what he did is what he does. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus, and he said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Let Jesus do his thing today. Come on, somebody. Man, I'm getting good at that. That's the second week in a row I preached water right off the pulpit. I respect the church. Tell somebody, say, I respect the church. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something. When you respect the church, you respect the leaders that God put in the church. Somebody said, well, Pastor, I don't think much of you. Listen, you got every right to your opinion. But what you don't understand is when you disrespect the one whom God sent, you disrespect the God who sent them. And you don't need to worry about my hurt feelings. You don't need to worry about me being vindictive or retaliating because of something you did to me. You need to be concerned about the head of the church, because he's the one that put me here and he's the one that put me in this pulpit. And when he wants me out, he'll take care of it. Woo, I'm preaching better than you're letting on. You know, if we had the attitude that David had, David was called to be a king. There was only one problem. There's somebody sitting on the throne. and he could have killed him. He had him in his sights. And he said, no, this is not my problem. This is God's problem. Sometimes we think that we're going to control things, and a manipulative spirit comes from the enemy, and we're going to make things different. We're going to tweak things. We're going to change things. You better be careful when you're starting to change the church of Jesus Christ, because the church belongs to him. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Sometimes God establishes a thing even when we can't see the purpose for it and we don't know the reason why and why he did it. So sometimes we just got to say, I'm going to go with the flow of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I may not have a good understanding on everything, but I know God is still at work. And he said, I will build my church. The church is not going under. Somebody say amen. The church is going over to victory. So number one, learn to respect the church. Number two, have reverence for the Holy Ghost. The Bible declares, listen to this, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Turn to somebody, say, neighbor, don't grieve the Holy Ghost. You see, when you grieve the Holy Spirit, it's tantamount to or the same as fighting against the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Jesus told his disciples, he commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, he have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They spilled out of the upper room and changed the world. They went out into a world that was lost in sin, and the next thing you know, people are getting saved and baptized in water. The church is growing. Wonderful things are happening. But watch this. In the midst of all this, there's persecution. There's a hatred, a pure hatred for the church that Satan aroused in the hearts of unbelievers, and they had to deal with the persecution. But it didn't matter to them. When they were persecuted, they'd get together and pray like this. Oh, Lord, behold their threats, and grant that your servants may speak the word with boldness. And the Holy Ghost came, and the place where they were gathered was shaken. Hallelujah. And they went out and shook the world. Glory to God. Don't ever underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. And don't ever think that you know everything there is to know about the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the things that I've learned in my 48 years of full-time ministry is that the Holy Spirit will not be controlled. He is looking for vessels through which he can channel his power, but he will not be controlled. He will not be manipulated. You will not tell him what he can do and what he can't do. And listen to this, you will not tell him whom he can use. There's some of you, oh, I've already disqualified them in my mind. There's failure in their life, and they're this and they're that. You need to go back and read the Bible. Almost everybody that God used had some kind of problem. Come on, somebody. Almost everybody had to concede to failure, say, yeah, I messed up. Yes, I fell flat on my face. Yes, I'm kind of jacked up, but all the grace of God is greater than my sins, and the power of the Holy Ghost has qualified me. By the way, let me tell you, in case you don't know, God never did call the qualified. He just qualifies the call. Hallelujah. Some of you are sitting around waiting on somebody you can have confidence in. When God says, listen, I've been trying to speak to you. I've been trying to tell you things, and you're so hard-hearted, you won't listen to me. I pray that every time the Holy Ghost breaks in on us, we'll have enough sense to slam on the brakes and say, all right, Holy Ghost, say what you want to say to us. And you know what? It's not always something that'll make you clap your hands and jump up and down. Amen. You know, I had to find a place to work my granddaughters in this message somewhere. I've watched my son-in-law and daughter. They're good parents. My son-in-law is the enforcer. And sometimes he has to say, all right now, It's a timeout. All right, now you can't do it. All right, now I told you this is not how we roll. We don't do this. We don't act like that. You can't do that. Listen, some of us don't have the attitude that my granddaughter has. Sometimes I'm alone with her and she'll start that mess and she knows Papa is not going to correct her. I say, all right, I'm going to get on the phone. Okay, I'm calling your daddy. Daddy, get up. Oh, okay, I'm all right. I'm okay, Papa. I'm okay. I'm okay. And some of you think that because God's your father, you can act any kind of way you want to act. You can do any kind of way you want to do. The Bible says those whom God loves, he chastens. He loves us enough to discipline sometimes and kick us up and smack us on the bottom and say, you better quit it and you better walk right and you better talk right and you better act right and you better think right, because I want you to be ready when Jesus comes back. Come on, somebody. The incentive for godly living and personal holiness is the coming of Jesus. And sometimes the Holy Ghost has to remind us of how we're living. We're living such substandard Christian lives. If somebody lives normal, we think they're abnormal. I'd like to see every one of you say, I am determined to be a 24-hour Christian. I'm going to serve God if it's in the house of the Lord, or if I'm driving to work, if I'm listening to somebody and they're telling me something that's not true, I'm going to rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Or if I'm listening to a song and it touches my heart, I'm going to have a proper response. But I am going to live for God, because for me to live is Christ. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm preaching so good I can't stand it. I wish I was sitting where you are, I'd be shouting right now. Reverence the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, I don't have the Holy Ghost. All right, let's talk about you. You need to be born again. You need to be born again. You can't get the Holy Ghost and not be born again. Because let me tell you a little secret. When you're born again, the Holy Ghost comes in. Hello? You say, well, I'm talking about that baptism of the old. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. But see, that's not when the Holy Ghost moves in. That's when the Holy Ghost takes over. When you're out born again, come in, Lord, and the Holy Spirit moves in there and says, all right, we got a vessel here. And then there's something called sanctification that we already forgot about. And yet the Bible says, in holiness and sanctification before him all the days of our lives. The Bible talks about this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Some of you don't know why you can't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you're so full of junk. You got everything in the world in you. You got to get rid of some of that stuff. All the gossip, all the stuff you're watching on television and the movies, all the stuff that's around you, all that's polluting your soul. And instead of you getting full, you can't get full because you're already full of something. So sometimes you have to empty it out. And that's what sanctification does. Sanctification helps you to prioritize what's important. Sanctification says it's more important for you to get to a Sunday night miracle service than it is for you to go bowling. Sanctification says it's more important for you to get under the spout where the glory is coming out than to skip church for a ball game. Sanctification says it's more important for you to flow in the anointing of Isaiah 10 that destroys the yoke than it is for you to go to the car races. I'm telling you, there are times when you and I have to say no to some things so we can say yes to the Holy Ghost. Oh my goodness, somebody say amen. Amen. Pastor Sam, come on with your bad self. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then you got to be hungry to receive this. You got to be hungry to receive it. Amen. Again, I want to use my granddaughters. My wife is a good cook. Sometimes she'll cook something so good I want to eat the dishes. That's how good she is. And then sometimes I'll take off my granddaughters and we'll have a little ice cream party before we go to get a Barbie at Walmart. And we'll be messing around, and I say, well, you know what? Would you want some of this candy? This is good. Yeah, Papa. And, ooh, that's good. Well, how about if you tried this right here? Ooh, this right here looks like it's good. You want to try some of that? Yeah, I like that too. And then we'll get to the house, and my wife says, oh, I want to make sure that the grandchildren have something good to eat, that Zion has something good. I fixed her some macaroni and cheese, and I got her a little bit of this, and I got a little bit, and she'll love, here's some green beans. And I look at her, and she looks up at me like, no, it ain't happening. And she sits down and is like, Nana, I can't, Nana, oh, I don't, Nana, no, Nana. And she looks at me. She says, "You did it, didn't you? You did it, didn't you? You got that." How many ice creams did she eat? How many French fries at McDonald's did she? She calls them fifth fries. She said, "How many fifth fries did she get at McDonald's?" I said, "Honey, I'm sorry. I forgot. And I know she's full because she doesn't want anything." Some of you, God spreads his banquet table and he wants you to come put your number 12s under this table, and you turn up your nose like a little temperament and say, "No, no, I don't want." You know why you don't want anything? The reason you don't have a spiritual appetite, you're too full of this world. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I want you to know something. I didn't come in here this morning hoping the service would get over in a hurry so I could do something else. I came here saying, this is a place where I'm going to have an encounter with God. When something's going on, I want to bask in it. Something's going on, I want to revel in it. I don't want to get in a hurry. I want to wait on. Oh, I don't mind waiting on the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, I got to hurry. Yeah, I know, but I got still got y'all a backslide. Worse. Here's the last thing. I'm going to close it. Not only have to respect the church, not only have to reverence the Holy Ghost, we got to return to the gospel. The reason revival has fallen into disrepute is because preachers in the 21st century are trying to do through professionalism and programs what we used to do through preaching. Somebody says, "Well, you know what? Do you have a plan?" I said, "Yeah. Preach the gospel, pray and fast. Preach the gospel, pray and fast. Preach the gospel, pray and fast. That's my plan. Stay in the Word. Stay close to God. Follow the Word." You know, Psalm 119, it says, "Revive us according to thy word." This is the mighty oak that stood in the mountains of eternity and entwined its roots around the rock of ages and listened to the winds of criticism and atheism as they vainly lashed themselves to fury through its branches, and it still stands. This is the mighty anvil that has worn out many a critical sledge. This is meat for men. This is milk for children. This is everything you'll ever need to defeat the devil. And the Bible said you're to study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible says you're to hide this in your heart that you might not sin against God. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I'm not interested in what Hollywood says. I'm not interested in what the government tells me I need to do. I'm not interested in some two-bit politician trying to tell me if I'll vote for him, he'll give me $1,000. I'm interested in pleasing God and honoring him and keeping his word. Everybody that believes that ought to shout amen in here. Oh, hallelujah. My Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to get this CD and listen to it and shout. I'm just going to shout. Praise God. Praise God. Now, the three things I want you to know. There is the promise of God's word. There's the provision of God's word. And there are the precepts of God's word. So if I'm to be revived according to the word of God, I got to focus on the promise, the precepts, and the provisions. What's the promise? God said, "Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto his cry." Hallelujah. What are we talking about when we say, well, what about the provisions of the word of God? "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And he'll make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency and all things may abound to every good work. So now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." What are we talking about when we talk about the precepts? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that you put off concerning the form of conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. For if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation, and all things have passed away, and all things are new. And he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through faith in Christ. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Would you stand and give God your best praise right now? Come on, somebody. I said your best praise. I said your best praise.
Pastor Sam Luke again with a special prayer for you. I pray today that God will bless you and encourage you, and that what you've heard today will stay with you and you'll be able to walk out your faith. Thank you so much for being a part of Victory today. For more information, I want you to go to our website. That's victorytab.org, or call us here at 804-744-8881. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Until we see you next time on Victory Today.